And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny. Whatever you want to say, I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you into positive vibrations on a regular basis. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode of the Positive Head Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham. I have my co-host, co-hostess with the mostest, Dalian the Alien, here with me.
Oh, we're back to that. Hey, I thought I would give you an authentic Chilean greeting today. You're not ready for this, by the way. But
oh,
yeah,
okay.
The Dalian was, he's a being from another planet, of course, but he was incarnate in Chile, South America. That's where I hail from. So
this is true.
My authentic Chilean salute would be something like, let me see. Hola, compadrito. ¿Cómo estás, por loco? ¿Qué buena onda? ¿Qué buena onda? Tranquilo.
Oh, wow. I have no idea what you just said, but it seemed very passionate.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you it was going to be in Spanish, too. But, yeah. That was my best, impression of a Chilean. If any Chileans are listening, they were slightly amused by my, probably thought it sounded weird, too, because they told me that all the time.
Are you going to tell us, gringos, what you said?
No, I was just saying, hey, what's up, dude? I was saying, hi, what's up, buddy? So cool to be here. Yeah. Well, greeting.
Simple. The simple pleasures, Dalian.
Yeah. Delivered in the Chilean, highly quirky, bastardized Spanish that we have.
the singing, it almost sounds like you're singing.
Yeah, it's got that sick songy quality. Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Let's dive into today's show. We have quite a few reviews, actually. I won't read them all because, we've been getting a lot of good feedback lately for some really good reason. The show has been really spiking in numbers. We crossed 4,000 downloads in a day. Yay! I mean, we were up near 2,800 a day, and all of a sudden it just skipped 3,000 altogether into 4,000. So you guys must be spreading the word out there. Thank you so much for doing that, helping us to spread the positivity. It is empowering and inspiring, and definitely helps us to sort of fuel this labor of love, right? So, and of course, giving reviews is a big deal too, because it helps us to reach more people on iTunes. And I think a lot of that's happening as well. So thank you guys. This particular review, I'll read a couple of them. Kelly B. Wow. I'm so glad I found this podcast. I love it. I love this podcast. Such a great resource for seekers. I consider myself an intermediate seeker, and I've done plenty of self-work, and this podcast is such a great positive reinforcement throughout the day. Really, really good. Keep it up, guys. Awesome. Thank you, Kelly B., for taking the time to complete the circle of love, so to speak, and giving us some feedback. And let's see. This one is Aren't the Alchemist. Life-changing. Brandon, Dalian, thank you so much for what you do. This is a long overdue review. I've been tuning in for a few months now, and I must say, while going through my awakening here in Boise, Idaho, I've had very little support and a lot of criticism. Even my own mother tells me I have a chemical imbalance in my brain and that I need to be put on medication. You guys have no idea how big of an impact this podcast has made in my life and how much guidance you have provided me. When I tune in, the slap in the face synchronicities are unreal. I hope to do an interview with you guys very soon. I have so much to share and many questions. Thanks again for what you do. You truly have made a tremendous impact on my life, coming from a young male that grew up without a father and very few mentors. Talk to you guys soon, Cody. Cody, thank you for taking the time to review. And I'm really happy to hear that you are sort of finding your way in spite of people not really understanding. And that's, of course, the case a lot of times with people. Dalian, you know, that don't necessarily understand like what you're talking about when you kind of get into this self growth spiritual realm. It's like a little weird and a little, you know, foreign to them. And so, of course, it's like, you know, what are you smoking? And, you know, I think it's really, really inspiring to hear, of course, someone who's understanding that it's, you know, all within them, and it's not something that is wrong with you. It's really, it's kind of like saying when the society is broken completely, those who are the most sane will seem insane. And yeah, keep on doing what you're doing, man. And thank you. And of course, write in with any questions. We are going to have listeners on the show, and there's going to be more of that coming up. It may take us a little while to get to you, but we're getting a lot of feedback from the audience. So it's, yeah, we will get to you. And thank you so much, Cody. Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Very, very cool of Cody to be, you know, brave enough to share a bit of his struggle there. And of course, also very humbling for us to, you know, be playing a role in that now. And helping. And it's so cool that we get to sort of pass on what I know some really great people in my life, like you, Brandon, because you've been a longtime friend, but what you and other people who I'll never meet, authors and writers of books that I've read that have influenced me, have done, performed a service for me. They've reminded me at key moments of my life, hey, you know, you're not crazy. There's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
It's this reality we've created collectively, us humans, that's a little insane, but we're, you know, we're waking up and we're making it right. So,
right. Yeah. Right.
Encouragement. Keep going, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. And thank you.
Exactly. If you're going through hell, keep going. I think that's Winston Churchill.
Yep.
So, all right, Dalian, what do you have in way of a mysterious story of the day? I know you got something weird for me.
Yep. I'm getting back to the good old weirdness of, like my early stories. I think I was sharing some, pretty interesting, you know, more kind of quote unquote out there stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And, this is the story of a boy, in Russia, Boriska, mm-hmm. or Borishka might be pronounced, who says that, he is from Mars. He was from Mars.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, of course he's not only a little left of center there. Right. And, he claims that all humans live eternally, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And that people like him, like us, he says, live on Mars.
How old was this boy?
Well, he was born in 1996.
Okay.
So, you know, he's a young man now, essentially. But he was special, according to this article, since pretty much he was born, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is, by the way, I found through a website I hadn't heard about, Brandon, simplecapacity.com.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go there and search for the article from earlier this year, from May, Boriska, boy from Mars, says humans live eternally. But yeah, his parents talked about, and his mom is a doctor up in, he's from the town of Shrini, Chirinovsk in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother noticed that he could hold his head up from like a very young infant age, like earlier than, you know, a baby would.
Mm-hmm.
Started speaking, you know, from a pretty early age. And then he, I guess, started frequenting a zone, kind of a well-known anomalous zone, says the article here, commonly referred to as Medvedetskaya Gryada, a mountain near the town. So the article speculates that this boy was going there for the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is eventually he started telling his parents about life on other, like his previous life, right, on Mars.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just going into this fascinating detail, right? So, I mean, he starts like, he would like, for example, I don't know, see like a piece of art or something that would trigger in him the sort of like, you know, mm-hmm. remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
And he would start just like essentially just talking for hours, like very animatedly telling his parents in a lot of detail. And of course, his parents were a little concerned, astounded.
Right.
And yeah, all of this. So,
wow.
I mean, it was fascinating when he goes into talking about how he used to be a Martian, more or less, right?
Right.
An intelligent being from Mars who would come to Earth in reconnaissance missions.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, when you
as a little kid, he's sitting there going into great detail about. It seems like I saw this story a while back.
Yes,
what a trip!
You might have seen a clip. There's a video. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So he is considered pretty much an indigo child, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, he would say this. He went extensively into talking about the Lemurian civilization, which I think was based on Mars, or possibly originally from Mars.
Lemurian? Yeah. Well, I think that's like an Atlantis, supposedly like Atlantis.
Yes.
You know, civilization from thousands, you know, tens of thousands of years ago on this planet, supposedly. So who knows? But what an interesting, it's really interesting when like little kids, of course, come out with, you know, any type of information. Of course, you have a lot of kids who've talked about like reincarnation and their past lives, you know, of course, not going as far as Bariska here, talking about past lives from another planet, but a lot of times talking about past lives here on, you know, this planet, who they were, where they lived, how they died, all these things. And then of course there's research done that shows that to be true. And when some little kid knows these details, it's like, okay, maybe there's something to it. So you take it a step further with this Bariska's kid. I mean, obviously we don't have archives from Mars, but, or maybe we do. We just, it's not being shown to us. Who knows what's, you know, it's just really an interesting thing for a little kid to start talking about. 'Cause he was really little when he started this conversation, right?
Yeah. And it's fascinating because, yeah, he goes into the combination of the details of the stories he tells and the overall sort of narrative, the message that comes out of that, the whole reference to humans living eternally, mm-hmm. is something that really does resonate, Brandon. I guess the whole Lemuria connection was something that it was like an Earth-based thing, but he was aware of that particular. And that gets into the whole thing about, like you said, Atlantean-like civilizations who destroyed themselves. He talks about how Lemurians destroyed themselves because they stopped developing spiritually. And I guess their society was very divided, mm-hmm. polarized possibly. You know, that rings some bells now. But he goes on later in the article to say things. I'll just read real quick a quote from one of the things he says regarding this whole humanity's immortality thing. He says, "No, I have no fear of death, for we live eternally. There was a catastrophe on Mars where I lived. People like us still live there. There was a nuclear war between them. Everything burned down. Only some of them survived. They built shelters and created new weapons. All materials changed. Martians now mostly breathe carbon dioxide. If they flew to our planet now, they would have to be breathing in fumes." Say, from like exhaust pipes. And I guess he is asked, "If you are from Mars, do you need carbon dioxide?" He replies, "No, I breathe oxygen in this body, of course. But oxygen causes aging." So it's like, that makes sense. He goes into the article's just packed with information about all of this.
What a trip.
Yeah.
Very, very mysterious indeed, Dalian. Thank you for sharing, as always. Moving right along, I would like to share a clip from actually not a clip. I would like to share a quote from Mike Dooley, who we've talked about before. He does Tut.com, Notes from the Universe, and they're really, really good. They're very clever. The universe must be inspiring him for sure, because they're just always super clever and good. And this one that came, I want to say yesterday, really kind of hit me because it's funny. I just did the first one of these live videos. And of course, I get feedback from people and a few family members. And one was like, "Oh, you're very fidgety. Of course, you're always kind of a spaz, you know, try and like calm down a little bit." I'm like, "Oh, that's good feedback." Yeah, we're not used to recording these on video, you know, so no one can see me like dancing around like a crazy man. But that very day or yesterday, I guess it was, I get a quote, and it's "The more one hurries, the less time they have." And then it was signed "Chill the Universe." And then, of course, there's always like kind of a PS at the bottom. And it's "Got that from an accelerated learning course I once took." And of course, pretty funny, pretty clever. So it really hit home, just the timing of it, you know, the synchronicity of it. The more one hurries, the less time they have. And that's something that I've always, you know, struggled with is being slow, taking my time. I mean, I eat fast, I talk fast, I'm really trying to be cognizant of slowing down. And to me, Dalian, that's like a really profound concept. The more one hurries, the less time you have. And when you talk about, you know, we always joke about bending space and time on the show and things like that, and how time is malleable, it is illusory. So I think this is such a key concept to really get. I know for me, and of course, as I always say, this show is first and foremost me trying to figure my own stuff out and sharing it with you guys. And if you benefit, awesome. But this is a big one. So So yeah, it really got me thinking this would be a great direction to kind of go with the show today. And you and I could talk a little bit about, you know, how do you chill out? Why would you want to chill out? And of course, the calmer you are, we know if you're, you know, if you're ever going to react to something, one of the best things that you can do is take a deep breath and slow down. And, you know, I believe strongly that's one of the most profound things that you can overcome is reacting. And that's something that I've definitely done a lot of in my day, you know, so fiery, so much energy. Someone says something or does something that I don't like. And, you know, let me show you how I'm right. And I'm reacting before you've even finished talking. You can take that deep breath. You can slow down. You can allow people to have their own perspective. You can allow, you know, enjoy the moment eating that meal, enjoy what's happening. It really comes back to being aware, being in the now, right? And so slow down. So what I'd like to do, actually, as I was researching this, one of my favorite teachers, Osho, talks about this. And I was looking out there, and of course, his videos, then there's quite a few of them out there. His videos are really slow. He talks really slow and really deliberate. And so what I found actually is a dialogue where someone asked him a question and he answered, you know, and here we'll get a little mix. I don't have it on video, but I'll read sort of his response. And I found this on the Osho.com website. One of my favorite teachers. He's a trip. His story's a trip.
Very unique.
Unique, a little controversial, you know, he definitely... You know, I've read quite a bit of his stuff years back, and certainly some of the most mind-melting moments I've had have been digging into some of his teachings. And he died in the 90s, I think. But there's a whole Osho Center in India, I believe, where he's from originally. So anyway, let's read. This is Osho on relaxation. And it's titled Relaxation is Just Being Natural. And someone said, Osho, will you say something more about relaxation? I'm aware of a tension deep at the core of me and suspect that I've probably never been totally relaxed. I can relate to that one. When you said the other day that to relax is one of the most complex phenomena possible, I glimpsed a rich tapestry in which the threads of relaxation and let go were deeply interwoven with trust, and then love came into it, and acceptance, going with the flow, union, and ecstasy. So it sounds like this guy had sort of a realization from a previous conversation, with Osho. And here's Osho's response. Total relaxation is the ultimate. That's the moment when one becomes a Buddha. That is the moment of realization, enlightenment, Christ consciousness. You cannot be totally relaxed right now. At the innermost core, attention will persist. But start relaxing. Start from the circumference. That's where we are. And we can start only from where we are. Relax the circumference of your being. Relax your body. Relax your behavior. Relax your acts. Walk in a relaxed way. Eat in a relaxed way. Talk. Listen in a relaxed way. Slow down every process. Don't be in a hurry and don't be in a haste. Move as if all eternity is available to you. In fact, it is available to you. We are here from the beginning and we are going to be here to the very end. We're going to be here to the very end, if there is a beginning and there is an end. In fact, there is no beginning and no end. We have always been here and we will be here always. Forms go on changing, but not the substance. Garments go on changing, but not the soul. Tension means hurry, fear, doubt. Tension means a constant effort to protect, to be secure, to be safe. Tension means preparing for the tomorrow now or for the afterlife. Afraid tomorrow you will not be able to face the reality. So be prepared. Tension means the past that you have not lived really, but only somehow bypassed. It hangs. It is a hangover. It surrounds you. Remember one very fundamental thing about life. Any experience that has not been lived will hang around you, will persist. Finish me, live me, complete me. There is an intrinsic quality in every experience that it tends and wants to be finished, completed. Once completed, it evaporates. Incomplete, it persists. It tortures you. It haunts you. It attracts your attention. It says, what are you going to do about me? I am still incomplete. Fulfill me. Your whole past hangs around you with nothing completed because nothing has been lived, really. Everything somehow bypassed, partially lived, only so-so, in a lukewarm way. There's been no intensity, no passion. You've been moving like a somnambulist, a sleepwalker. So that past hangs and the future creates fear. And between the past and the future is crushed your present, the only reality. You will have to relax from the circumference. The first steps in relaxing is the body. Remember as many times as possible to look in the body, whether you are carrying some tension in the body somewhere, at the neck, in the head, in the legs. Relax it consciously. Just go to the part of the body and persuade that part. Say to it lovingly, relax. And you will be surprised that if you approach any part of your body, it listens. It follows you. It is your body. With closed eyes, go inside the body from the toe to the head, searching for any place where there is a tension. And then talk to that part as you talk to a friend. Let there be a dialogue between you and your body. Tell it to relax and tell it, there's nothing to fear. Don't be afraid. I am here to take care. You can relax. Slowly, slowly, you will learn the knack of it. Then the body becomes relaxed. Then take another step, a little deeper. Tell the mind to relax. And if the body listens, mind also listens. But you cannot start with the mind. You have to start from the beginning. You cannot start from the middle. Many people start with the mind and they fail. They fail because they start from the wrong place. Everything should be done in right order. If you become capable of relaxing the body voluntarily, then you will be able to help your mind relax voluntarily. Mind is a more complex phenomenon. Once you have become confident that the body listens to you, you will have a new trust in yourself. Now, even in the mind can listen to you. It will take a little longer with the mind, but it happens. When the mind is relaxed, then start relaxing the heart, the world of your feelings, emotions, which is even more complex, more subtle. But now you'll be moving with trust, with great trust in yourself. Now you will know it is possible. It is possible with the body and possible with the mind. It is possible with the heart too. And then only when you have gone through these three steps can you take the fourth. Now you can go to the innermost core of your being, which is beyond body, mind, heart, the very center of your existence. And you will be able to relax it too. And that relaxation certainly brings the greatest joy possible, the ultimate in ecstasy, acceptance. You'll be full of bliss and rejoicing. Your life will have the quality of dance to it. The whole of existence is dancing, except man. The whole of existence is in a very relaxed movement. Movement there is, certainly, but it is utterly relaxed. Trees are growing and birds are chirping and rivers are flowing, stars are moving. Everything is going in a very relaxed way. No hurry, no haste, no worry, and no waste, except man. Man has fallen a victim of his mind. Man can rise above gods and fall below animals. Man has a great spectrum, from the lowest to the highest. Man is a ladder. Start from the body and then go slowly, slowly deeper. And don't start with anything else unless you have first solved the primary. If your body is tense, don't start with the mind. Wait. Work on the body. And just small things are of immense help. You walk at a certain pace. That has become habitual, automatic. Now try to walk slowly. Buddha used to say to his disciples, walk very slowly and take each step consciously. If you take each step very consciously, you are bound to walk slowly. If you're running, hurrying, you will forget to remember. Hence, Buddha walks very slowly. Just try walking very slowly and you will be surprised. A new quality of awareness starts happening in the body. Eat slowly and you will be surprised. There is great relaxation. Do everything slowly just to change the old pattern, just to come out of old habits. First, the body has to become utterly relaxed like a small child. Then only start with the mind. Move scientifically. First the simplest, then the complex, then the more complex, and then only can you relax at the ultimate core. You ask me, will you say something more about relaxation? I'm aware of a tension deep in the core of me and suspect that I've probably never been totally relaxed. That is the situation of every human being. It is good that you are aware. Millions are unaware of it. you're blessed that you're aware, because if you're aware, then something can be done. If you are not aware, then nothing is possible. Awareness is the beginning of transformation. And you say, when you said the other day that to relax is one of the most complex phenomena possible, I glimpsed a rich tapestry in which the threads of relaxation and let go were deeply interwoven with trust. And then love came into it, and acceptance, going with the flow, union, and ecstasy. Yes, relaxation is one of the most complex phenomena. Very rich, multidimensional. All these things are part of it. Let go, trust, surrender, love, acceptance, going with the flow, union with existence, egolessness, ecstasy. All these are part of it, and all these start happening if you learn the way of relaxation. Your so-called religions have made you very tense because they have created guilt in you. My effort here is to help you get rid of all guilt and all fear. I would like to tell you there is no hell and no heaven. So don't be afraid of hell and don't be greedy for heaven. All that exists is this moment. You can make this moment a hell or a heaven. That certainly is possible, but there is no heaven or hell somewhere else. Hell is when you are all tense, and heaven is when you are all relaxed. Total relaxation is paradise. And that is from Osho. I found it on Osho.com. The Way of the Buddha, Volume 1, Talk Number 8 is what that clip's from. So hope you guys enjoyed that. It's a little lengthy, but worth the wait.
Yeah. He covered a whole bunch of stuff in there, Brandon.
Yeah, Osho is...
Yeah.
Osho is definitely up on the top of my favorites list, so... So relaxed, Dalian, relaxed. I feel relaxed.
Osho goes pretty deep, huh? And it is, it's awesome how when you hear him talk about, and you did a great job reading his words, by the way, but when you hear him talk about relaxation, the one thing that immediately emerged for me was that essentially he was talking about a quality of intention.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing that conscious, you know, at the end there, he was talking about awareness, same thing in a sense, but, yeah, that quality of intentional, fully intentional, conscious living. I want to, you know, travel through life relaxed as much as I can in every moment. Yeah. And how am I going to do that? By deciding that I want to live that way, you know, every minute of every day. And of course, things will come up, distractions will come up, challenges will happen. But what do you do eventually after a few times of, you know, getting kicked around some? You start going like, well, hey, I don't want to let life kick me around. I don't want to not be in control. I want to be in control of the one thing I can control here, which is my intention, my decision to experience life that way.
Exactly. And
so, yeah, I'll forget from time to time, but I'm going to keep trying to come back to this.
Yeah, that's what he says. You know, being aware is the ultimate, because if you're not aware, you're lost. And that's really what this whole podcast is about. It's like sort of finding the first rung on a ladder that stretches into eternity. It's like we're just here trying to figure it out together, but we're aware enough to know this is the path. And it's a daily conscious effort to sort of feed your mind and your body and your soul with this information and understand your place in the universe and who you are and what you are. And, you know, I love he talks about Buddha consciousness, Christ consciousness, all these different, you know, Buddha wasn't a Buddhist, Christ wasn't a Christian. They were teaching love, they were teaching awareness, they were teaching all the same material. And of course, man, in its what man does, takes things and sort of twists it and turns it into something else and makes it a dogma. But really what, you know, he was, you know, I instantly, when I was reading it, I was thinking of the one being raised, you know, Christian. I know some Bible verses, and one of them that I was thinking of was Jesus saying, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And this is exactly what he's talking about, right? It's like effortless to be. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're all striving to be. It's what we are being in this moment.
Yeah. I understood even at the beginning, Brandon, when he was talking about how, or perhaps that was part of the question from the student, but he acknowledged that there is a sort of a fundamental tension at the heart of existence that to me makes sense, because it's the tension, it's that sort of, yeah, cosmic tension that produces action that really kind of gave birth to it all. Otherwise, why, you know, should there be anything? I think that sort of could be like a small tension that's amplified and magnified, and it becomes this whole elaborate, you know, universal motion. But I think that's really something that's, you know, it's there and it's wise to sort of understand it. For example, one of the things that I thought about when I was thinking that is that our hearts are constantly beating, right? And so, you know, one of the signs of being alive is for this muscle that, which never truly relaxes fully, right? I mean, this muscle relaxes and contracts.
Yeah.
You know, it relaxes and contracts over and over again, millions of times throughout your life.
Yeah.
And that's what's keeping you alive. So that fundamental quote unquote tension will always be there. But again, it's just his whole way of going into that was just so genius. Yeah. Because he's talking about like, go from the periphery, from the circumference that, you know, start relaxing where you can, where you have awareness, right? Your heart will not truly relax as long as you're alive. That's going to keep you, you know, going to keep you going.
Right.
But, you know, your intention and decision to relax can make such a big difference in every other way.
Definitely one for me to be very aware of and strive for and conscious of. So, yeah, I love this show. This particular podcast, very personal nice. To me. So, well, Dalian, we are out of imaginary time once again. Luckily, there's plenty more where that came from. So we will be back. We have some music queued up for the listeners, don't we?
We sure do.
What do you got?
And we have the Ash Walker track, right? That's what we settled on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ash Walker, whom we've played on the podcast, I think twice at least. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, here's a new offering that you found called Thunder, featuring Lord LaVille.
Ash Walker, this song is called Thunder. Hope you enjoy.
I can't stop the rain inside my head. Inside my head. So